Hi, this is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. Last week, we talked about Jesus' accusation of the Pharisees that they were offering lip service to the prophets and what Jesus' kingdom was truly all about, but in their hearts, they were truly hostile to it. These words are most likely the harshest spoken by Jesus in the Gospels. This is not the way we see him talking to those who have been abused by religion or who were outside of his kingdom. This is the way we find him speaking to the religious leaders of his day, who were claiming to represent the kingdom. But in all actuality, they were the greatest obstacle and barrier for folks to actually enter the kingdom, or for those who were attempting to enter the kingdom. This distinction, I believe, is important before we even look at these last two or to three verses. I believe it's very important. Too often people misinterpret these harsh words by Jesus here, and they take them to mean that evangelism of the law should be done with harsh denouncements of others and their sins. But I think it would do us well to remember that this is not how Jesus addressed those who were considered to be sinners in their culture, but rather those who considered themselves to be guides or leaders or teachers. And even in that, you've got to imagine Jesus saying all of this with passionate tears, yes, with anger in his voice, but tears on behalf of those who have been hurt by the religion of his day, and for those leaders as well. There are three phrases in this week's passage I want to look at, but let's read the passage first. It's in Luke 11, 52-54. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you've taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering. When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. This is the last podcast we're going to do on this section of Luke 11. And once again, those three phrases that I would like to end up with here, that Jesus ends up with here, the three phrases that I'd like to look at is, number one, you have taken away the key of knowledge. I want to take a look at this key of knowledge. Then he says, you yourselves have not entered in. And then thirdly, you have hindered those who are in the process of entering in. Let's first talk about this key of knowledge. One of the key distinctions of the gospel is that it actually sets you free. It's not oppressive. It's not bad news. It actually is good news that empowers you and changes you from the inside out. Many times we see in our day that the good news of the gospel really has been twisted so that in all actuality it's bad news. These perversions of God's word, they don't bring us light. They bring darkness instead. The truth of God's kingdom becomes obscured. It has a certain negative, oppressive, gotta or should ring to it. It actually shames people through various forms of legalism rather than empowering them to live out the radical love of the kingdom. All of this is rooted in what I believe to be a very wrong picture of God. It has all the right terms, all the right phrases, but at its heart, it's a fundamentally different picture of what God is like than the picture Jesus revealed and referred to as the key of knowledge. So what is this key? Our first clue is found in John 5, verse 39, where Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me." If you have this key that Jesus is referring to, then you begin to see that actually Jesus himself is what all the scriptures are testifying of. This key unlocks that dimension of the Bible. Jesus is the lens through which we discover the truth about what God is like. He's the exact representation of God's character. You find this in Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, and in John 14, verse 9, where Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," and other places where you can find those on our website. But if you do not have this key that Jesus referred to, if that is taken away, then you can search and study, you can study the Bible all day long and miss all of this entirely. You study the Bible, but you get a distorted picture of God. You get distorted theologies, and you get distorted views of salvation. And too often in this context, the Bible becomes used as a weapon. It's a complete misunderstanding of what Paul meant in Ephesians 6, when he called the Bible the sword. And he does name it like this. But his intent in this passage is that the Bible is not to be used as a weapon against people. Rather, he says, our enemy is not flesh and blood. In other words, if it has flesh and blood, it's not our enemy. The Bible is never to be used as a sword or a weapon on other people, ever. When this happens, the Bible actually ends up leaving others with a jaded perception of itself and of God. So what then is this key? I believe it's found in 1 John 4, verse 8, where the Apostle John writes those three famous words, God is love. The Greek word for love in this passage, as many of you know, is agape. It indicates a radical, other-centered, self-sacrificial love. When this kind of love is rejected, either in theory, as a concept, or as a practice in how we do life, we lose the very key that enables us to gain a correct knowledge of God in the Bible. This love is demonstrated in living form in the person of Jesus Christ. So one could say that this key is Jesus himself. Yet remember that the reason this is true is that Jesus is the incarnate embodiment of what God is really like. God is love. And only by love is love awakened. So we first encounter God's love through Jesus. That love awakens to us a fuller understanding of what God is like. And the Bible, for many, becomes a brand new book. You begin to see things in the Bible you've never seen before. And that leads you to see Jesus even more clearly, to see God's love even more clearly, and to begin to view the Scriptures even more clearly. But honestly, you do view the Bible very differently in this context than how most people look at the Bible. When this love is rejected, the true key is abandoned. We get a distorted view of all the things related to God, including his character. And in this process, we, in our rejection of this love, we refuse to enter into God's kingdom of radical, self-sacrificial, other-centered love. And everything that flows out of our religiosity then becomes a hindrance or a barrier, a hurdle to those who are being drawn into his kingdom of love in spite of us. This is what we see happening in a large portion of Christianity today. And once again, praise God for the few exceptions. But what we see in a large portion of Christianity is religiosity, rather than other-centered, self-sacrificial love. In John 1, verse 9, Jesus is called the true light that gives light to everyone. He is right now drawing all people to himself, and we find this from John 12, verse 32. Every person on planet Earth is at this very moment, as you're listening to this podcast, is right now being drawn toward God's kingdom of other-centered love. And if they do not resist, they will be drawn to the foot of the cross. The question that we have to answer as those who claim to follow Jesus today is, are we entering into this kingdom of love, not just as a theology, but as the way we do life? Are we ourselves entering in, or are we refusing to be drawn, and in our religiosity rather than love, in our religiosity that very well could be associated with Jesus, but in name only, are we in our rejection of love and how we relate to others? Are we hindering those who themselves are also being drawn? Especially right now, during this consumer-driven holiday season, may we as followers of Jesus be characterized by the other-centered, self-sacrificial, radical love of our God. May his humble servant love be seen in us, and may we not be part of the hindrances that abound, but a help and even a conduit to the grand universal drawing of God's love that is taking place all around us. Happy holidays to each of you. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Keep living in love, loving like Christ, and building the kingdom. We'll see you next week. I love you guys.